Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's an interesting text today from Matthew chapter 22. Because the Pharisees, Herodians, Caesar, they're all kind of jumbled together, all with the intention of tricking Jesus. They know that that doesn't work, right? They've tried it before, asking him questions and him answering their questions with questions and then not telling them where his answers come from because they can't answer his question. It doesn't work. And yet, they try again. The Pharisees this time employ the Herodians. Now, it's interesting because they're not necessarily friends, the Pharisees and the Herodians. They weren't buddies. The Pharisees didn't like the Romans. The Herodians appreciated the Romans. The Pharisees didn't want the Romans to be there. The Herodians didn't mind them being there because it meant they kept their power. Neither of them, Pharisee nor Herodian, cared about paying taxes to anybody. They all just wanted to keep their wealth. So this whole ruse is destined and doomed to failure. Jesus, of course, knows this. As they come to him with all of the wonderful flattery, and we know you teach things of God, and you know, you're not swayed by opinions. And if they really believe that, then they'd believe Jesus. So they can't possibly believe any of what it is they're saying. And Jesus knows this. So he counters their question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, if he says yes, well, then people are going to be upset that he's kowtowing to the Romans. If he says no, then he's going to be in sedition and rebellion against the Romans. So honestly, any way that Jesus answers, he's going to be in trouble. But he knows that they don't really want to know the answer. I think sometimes we have people who ask us questions like that and they really don't want to know the answer. You know, the great question, why does God cause evil or why does he allow this stuff to happen? And they don't really want to know the answer. They just want to spout off. And so here it is too. Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? It's a good answer. Maybe one we should employ more often. So they look at the coin that is used to paying the temple taxes or the taxes to Caesar and all of those things, and it's a denarius, and so whose likeness is on it? Caesar's. Well, then Jesus says, well, then give it back to Caesar. But give to God what is God's. So in answer to the first, what is God's? Everything. Even what is Caesar's is God's. So the first part of his answer doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, give to Caesar back his medal with his picture on it. Who cares? Paul picks up on this in Romans chapter 13 when he's talking about being subject to the governing authorities. And he says in chapter 13, verse 7, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. But then he says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Give to God what is God's. He doesn't need taxes. He doesn't need money. God doesn't need all of the things that mankind seems to think that mankind needs. Honor, respect, money, revenue, all of that stuff is all tied up in this question, whose picture is on it? Who is it that we fear, love, and trust above all things? I'm sure some of you recognize that. It's from Luther's Small Catechism when he's talking about the first commandment. And he says, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. All things. God is feared, loved, and trusted above all things. Whose picture, whose inscription is on the thing that you fear, love, and trust the most? It's a hard question for us. Because a lot of times, that picture changes. Depending on our circumstances, depending on where we find ourselves and what we find ourselves involved in, that picture, that inscription on what we fear, love, and trust the most changes. Sometimes it is money. Sometimes that is the thing that occupies our minds day and night, sleepless nights, whatever the case may be, our heads are spinning, worrying about where the next payment is going to come from, where the next check is going to come from, how are we going to pay the rent, how are we going to buy groceries, how are we going to do these things? We don't know, and so that thing that we fear becomes that money. Sometimes the thing that we fear or love the most can be another person. We've had people in our lives who have been maybe bullies. Maybe they've been domineering authorities. Maybe they've been abusive or are abusive. Maybe it's somebody who you fear to spend time with, but you love them, but you don't trust them. What does that inscription look like? Whose picture is on it? Sometimes it's even ourselves. The one we fear, love, and trust the most is me. Because I'm in charge. I have control. I have the power. I make the decisions. I make the determinations. I decide where we're going and what we're doing all the time. It's all about me. And that inscription changes and becomes a mirror. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. What do we fear, love, and trust the most? Above all things. See, in the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Romans and the disciples and all of the different groups of people that Jesus encountered, nobody was really sure how to answer that question. Nobody really knew what they fear, loved, and trusted the most. They didn't really know because there was the Roman authorities and there was the Herodian authorities and there was the Pharisaic authorities and then there were your family obligations and then there were the city things and then there were the festivals and you didn't really know what was going on. So Jesus puts it plainly. Give to God what is God's. And what is God's? Everything. Everything that would make that inscription on that thing that you fear, love, and trust the most, that Roman denarius, it's all God's. You are God's. Not you are God's, but you are His, possessive gods. I want to make sure that's clear. It's being broadcast. Get a knock on the door from the seminary. Excuse us. What do we fear, love, and trust the most? Well, when we know that we are His children, that we are His possession, that we are His treasure. Who else can we fear, love, and trust? No one but Him. We look to God for everything. I had a professor once who said that God even grants you that next breath. It is a gift from him to you. That next breath, that breath you just took, is a gift from God to you. You are his treasured possession. So whenever that fear and that trust and all of those other things that would take the place of God on that inscription and on that image, whenever those things start to crowd in, because they do, all the time, there's always something else that wants to be in that place. There's always someone else who wants to have that power. There is always something else that threatens. There's always something. You know this. And it's different for each of us. But there's always something trying to crowd in, trying to take the place of the only one to fear, love, and trust. In our Old Testament reading, it's interesting to hear God say, he says it a couple of times, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Beside me, there is no God." I am the Lord, and there is no other. God is very clear. The only one to fear, love, and trust is him, because nobody else is worthy of it. Nobody else or nothing else can take his place. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. If he wants it, let him have it. But know that all things are God's, including you. They tried to entangle Jesus. They tried to trap him in his words and speech. They tried to butter him up with flattery, all the while speaking the truth, even though they didn't know they were speaking the truth. And God wins out all the time, every time. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's. And he looks at you and he says, you are mine. You are my treasured possession. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.